for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2006 Passover Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Service being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the Friday afternoon 1:15 Ladies Deliverance Service, April 14, 2006. Gail Patton is the speaker of this service, teaching on the most important key to deliverance.
I'm going to be talking about what I think is the most important ingredient for deliverance. And when you think of something in your mind that could be related to what I'm talking about, that is a hindrance, I want you to write it down. And it doesn't matter if you think it's a hindrance for you. I want you to write it down if you think it's just a hindrance, period. Like maybe for your mother or your daughter or your friend or somebody you've heard of. You know, I'm going to tell you more about what I'm going to be talking about in a second. But I just want you to be thinking about, as I go, just write it down as I go. Because at the end, sometimes Cheryl and Carl and Patty will make a list of things that we're going to do in deliverance. And I think that's a great idea. Sometimes I'll pass out the cards and I use those. But this time we're just going to, at the very end, make a list of some of those things that we want to be delivered of. And in other words, I almost did what I did the other time. Don't touch it. What I did was I dropped all my notes, and so they were totally out of order.
Oh, no.
And so I didn't talk on that. That's the reason why Carla got down. Carla. Oh, me. Dear, they're still in order. Praise the Lord. And Cheryl was so sweet when I did that. Cheryl was sitting up here and I said, I dropped the notes. And I said something like, oh, well, I didn't want to talk on that. I guess I didn't want to talk on that anyway. And then she was so sweet because she said, Gail, go ahead and make a tape of it anyway. So I did. That was when I was going to talk about Harry Potter, and I talked more about other kinds of witchcraft in our lives.
Yes, Captain.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Make a tape now, and we'll make it.
Well, thank you. So I finally did make the Harry Potter tape. So. Anyway, today I thought, well, when I was putting this together, I was thinking, what is the most important thing for deliverance? There are so many ingredients for successful deliverance, but what is the most important thing? What if a person came this weekend and didn't learn anything else? What if I could only say one thing that you would remember? Like there's something wrong with your memory or something, but there would be one thing you'd remember. This is it. If I only had 10 minutes with somebody and I had to teach them about deliverance, this would be what it is. This would be what I would tell them. If they didn't know anything about deliverance and they couldn't learn anything else about deliverance and this is all I could tell them about deliverance, this is it. Of course, I'm going to spend more than 10 minutes. But I want to try to cover the subject. I'm not really covering the subject, but I am going to try to hit it as thoroughly as I can in the period of time that we have, because we're going to do some deliverance at the end. And as I go through, do you have a piece of paper? I've got one. If you don't, if you have a pen, here you go. Hand this to Jerry. Jerry, when you think of things that you think are a hindrance to what I'm going to be talking about, write it down, because that's what we're going to cover in deliverance. You know, we come here to Lake Hamilton to learn about spiritual warfare. And we come, basically 1 John 3:8, you don't have to turn to it. Sometimes what I'll do is when I want to turn to something, I might pause and say, let's turn to it. But 1 John 3:8, most of us know, says, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." We are trying to learn how to destroy the works of the devil. When we get interested in... Everybody wants to know how to destroy the works of the devil. But you know, few people in our Christian world know very much about the subject of destroying the works of the devil. They do what they know. People perish for lack of knowledge, but we're here because everybody comes here to either learn more about deliverance. Well, most people come here for a combination of things. I know I come here to get deliverance. I come here to learn about deliverance. I come here to learn about and get to know people who are in the deliverance ministry because they help me so much with it. And then we know what Jesus said in Luke 4:18. His purpose, part of his purpose statement is setting the captives free. And that's what we want to learn to do. We want to learn to set ourselves free, go back and teach other people how to be free. That's basically what spiritual warfare is. And it takes a lot of weapons for the battle. In Ephesians 6:12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual weakness and in high places." And for that we need weapons. And in that same place it talks about lots of weapons. There are lots of weapons. There are lots of weapons of our warfare. You come here, you may know a whole lot about the subject. You may know very little bit about the subject. You may know a lot about the weapons and all kinds of weapons. And you may, I'm just learning about this. I don't really have a grip on too many weapons. In that same area, it talks about the sword of the Spirit, the weapon of prayer. We could go on and on talking about the weapons of our warfare. But I'm going to concentrate one particular weapon. The most important weapon. And I want you to remember, if you don't remember anything I've ever said, I want you to remember this. My husband and I have been in the deliverance ministry for 30 years. Mike's been casting out demons for 35 years. And I'm telling you, if you don't ever learn anything else, if you learn this, you will set the captives free. 2 Corinthians 10:4. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, fleshly, but mighty through God in the pulling down of strongholds." I'm just trying to make it clear that I'm talking about a weapon. And it's really a simple subject. I'm just going to talk about one thing. Now, I know you come from a long way. God was not going to forget it. Oh dear, let's see. Now some of you have known a lot about deliverance. Jerry's been delivering 40, can't be 50 years, you're not even 50 years old. Mildred's been in the deliverance ministry longer than any of us. Patty's been in it for years and years. Carla, Cheryl's been in it for years and years. Some of you, though, are just getting your big toe in the water. You're just learning about it. You're just trying to think, well, I want to check this thing out. I want to find out about deliverance. And I've heard that Lake Hamilton is the place to come to learn about deliverance. So that's the reason why I was thinking, since so many people, I wanted to think of what weapon is it that makes the same difference whether you're Jerry McGee, or is there anybody that hasn't ever delivered a demon? Is there anybody here that has never cast out a demon? Okay, we got some people that have never cast out. Okay, it doesn't matter. If you're, what's your name?
Jenny.
It doesn't matter if you're Jenny or Jerry. Jerry or Jenny. Mm-hmm. This is of the same and equal importance. This weapon. Okay, I think I've said enough about that. Anyway, if you did this better
practice on this weapon.
What?
I think we know, some of us know what this weapon is, and we're practicing right now.
Patience!
No. Suffering, not patience. I do not have a real good grip on this weapon myself. And you're thinking, oh no, she's violating the most important important point of public speaking. Never talk about something you don't know. And I didn't say I didn't know about it. I said I'm not good at it. I know about it. Believe me, I know about it. If I can get through this talk, I know about it. I've been watching it up close and personal for 30 years. I've been watching it day in and day out for 30 years. You better believe I know about it. I know about it, and I can teach you about it. Now, it's the desire of my heart, the most number one desire of my heart, that I can develop this weapon and that I can swing it and use it more and more every day. It's the most important thing I concentrate. When I concentrate on my deliverance, you know, there are a lot of people that use it very effectively. Dr. Null, Glenn Miller. Let me tell you about a time that Glenn Miller was using that was really interesting. It was here not too long ago, about a year ago. He said, Gail, come quick. We were in the back of the auditorium, and I followed him, and I thought, oh my gosh, what's wrong? Something's on fire. You know, I'm following him out of the building, and in the parking lot there was a woman and her mother and her daughter and her granddaughter. And her daughter was into witchcraft, and she and her mother, who was, I guess her mother was in her 70s or 80s, were in the process of trying to lead her daughter out of witchcraft and to become a Christian. And Glenn goes up to the girl that everyone's concerned about. Her the girl's daughter, the great-granddaughter, is in the van, totally uninterested in what they're doing. Total the opposite of Lori? No. What? Luann. Total the opposite of Luann. About Luann's age. But she was totally uninterested in what her mother was the witch, and her grandmother was trying to get her daughter, the witch, saved. And so Glenn came up to the girl, the witch, and said, you know, I want you to meet Gail, and I want you to talk to Gail for a while, and the most important thing is I want you to come in here, I want you to come in, sit down at the meeting. I think this was around 5:30, 6 o'clock, and the meeting was starting at 7, and she said, he had tears streaming down his eyes. He said, we just love you. We just love you so much. And Jesus loves you so much. We just want you to listen to the speaker. I want you to listen to Gail because I love you. And this girl who was about to leave as fast as she could, she got in that truck and listened to me for about an hour. She came into that meeting and she started her life with Jesus. Compassion is the weapon. If you can learn to act on your compassion, you will get people delivered every day of your life. Compassion is the weapon. You know, obedience is the catalyst. Now, Glenn Miller and Dr. Null have no difficulty with obedience. Now, most of us do. I do. I have a difficult time acting on my compassion. I have a difficult time being obedient to my compassion. Compassion rises up in me occasionally. Sometimes I act on it and sometimes I don't. I regret to admit that more often than not, I don't. But most of the time, my husband does. And so that's what I've been watching for 30 years, 35 years. Compassion that sets the captives free. That's what Jesus did, and that's what you can do. 1 John 3:17. I'm just going to read these to you because I don't want to take too much time. And of course, occasionally we'll go to a verse. But 1 John 3:17. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God? How dwelleth the love of God in him? Now, this refers to material need, but it is the same kind of compassion that is the emotion that's used in healing and deliverance. There's other the words of compassion in Mark 8:1, Mark 15:32, where Jesus was moved with compassion and did miracles like healing and feeding the multitude. Mark 9:36. When we saw the multitudes in Matthew 14:14, I'm going to read that, Matthew 14:14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Matthew 20:34. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. Mark 1:41. The leper was asking Jesus, you know, he said to Jesus, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. Okay, the definition of compassion in the New Testament verses, in those verses that I just read, says to have the bowels yearn, that is, feel sympathy, pity, to have or be moved with compassion. To have the bowels yearn. There's going to be times, and there probably have been, where you have your bowels yearn. You know what that means when your bowels yearn? You know what compassion is? Compassion is when you feel something for someone deep down inside, and you want them to be healed so badly. And you get up off of your duff, and you go do something about it. And the older you get, the more deliverance you do, the better you're going to be getting up and doing it. That's what Jesus did. The Holy Spirit told him something, and he was always obedient. Now, we aren't always obedient, but we want to get there. We want to get there to where when our compassion rises up, we can move. In Mark 15:19, it says the fellow that Jesus cast, the Gadarene, cast the legion out of, he wanted to go with Jesus. He wanted to follow him. This is great. I'm finally in my right mind, and I want to go with him. And Jesus said, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. In Jude 22, and on some have compassion making a difference. Those two verses, Jude 22 and Mark 15:19, the definition of compassion is a little bit different. To compassionate by word or deed, specifically by divine grace, having compassion, pitying on, have obtained, received, show mercy on. By divine grace. We can do that. You can do that. You know, there's different ways of having compassion. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. You can have compassion just by telling somebody something they need to know. Mark 6:34, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd, and he began to teach. You can do that. Luke 7:13-14. He raised the young man through compassion. And you can do that. Luke 7:13-14. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the coffin, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say, arise. Healing and deliverance, raising the dead, starts with compassion. So many of these times when Jesus healed people, it started with compassion. And so many times when you heal somebody, it's going to start with compassion. That's a clue. The Holy Spirit is talking to you. When you feel compassion arise, that's the time to say, well, where do you think that's from? You know, if you have compassion for somebody's illness, condition, is that from Satan? No. That's from the Lord. Compassion, then action. Compassion, then results. First comes compassion, then comes healing and deliverance. That's the way it happens with us, too. Happens with Jesus, happens with us. And, as Jesus did, when your compassion is coupled with obedience, that's when you get the results. It says in, we're supposed to be like him, 1 John 5:16-17. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. And if that verse doesn't convince you, let's read John 14:12. I'll read John 14:12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And if you're going to do greater works than Jesus, then that means when compassion comes to you, you're going to have to say, oh, Okay, Holy Spirit, that must be you. You get off your duff and you do it. We know what the Bible says. A lot of us have memorized Mark 16, 17, and 18. We know that it talks about that if we believe, we'll cast out demons. We'll lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed. They shall be healed if we believe. Verse 20, what is in verse 20? The Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. If you're a believer, signs will follow you. You will be effective. This weapon will be effective. Your compassion will be effective. Your compassion will have fruit. Jesus will confirm the signs. He will be with you, confirming. Now, what did I hear? Glenda, I want you to take this pen. She took the pen, didn't she? One time, I wanted to demonstrate because I want you to remember this story. Dr. Eckert, when Mike first got into the healing and deliverance, he first got interested. He met a fellow by the name of Dr. Eckert in Houston, Texas, at the Church of the Redeemer, and he asked Mike one day after Mike had gotten to know him a little bit. He said, "Mike, are you doing the will of God?" And Mike said, "Well, I'm trying." And Dr. Eckert said, "Take that pen. Take that pen." Now, did you take that pen or did you try to take that pen? We don't try. We either do it or we don't. Greater works shall you do than he. John 14:12. I got to tell you a story about, you have to start somewhere. You just do it. You take little steps. I got to tell you about a friend of ours who took a little step. His first little step. It was an interesting story because Mike had met a woman in church, and they were just talking, and they were talking about the weather. And I remember saying, this happens all the time. It took me 20 years to figure out it's the Holy Spirit. I don't know. Sometimes I'm brain dead. Maybe not 20 years. 15, 12. I don't know. Anyway, we were talking about, we were the only three in the sanctuary. And the woman and Mike and I were standing there, and her husband. And they're talking about the weather. And Mike says to her, "Yeah, but how's your marriage?" And she knew that Mike liked her, and she wasn't that insulted. And she said, "Well," and the husband was like, he couldn't believe Mike said that. And Mike wouldn't have said it if there were a lot of people around. The Holy Spirit is not into embarrassing people. But the Holy Spirit told him that. And he was obedient. Now, I'm telling you a story about a friend of ours, but this is leading up to it. So then they're talking about the weather again. And then Mike said to the man, he said, "Yeah, but how's your marriage?" And they broke down and they told about the problem. And she said, "Well, you know, the strange thing has happened. I have this horrible disobedience. I have this rebellion problem I've never had before." And the husband's just being real nice, you know, he said. And then she said, "Yeah, don't I, honey?" "Oh, yeah, yeah." And she said, he can't even ask me to get a cup of coffee for him without me getting upset. And he said, "I didn't used to be like that, did I, honey?" And he said, "No, I don't know where this has come from." It turns out, I'm not going to go into where it came from, but it did turn out that it came from somewhere in her past. But this spirit had just chosen now to rise up and cause them problems. So she asked Mike, she said, "Do you think you could help me with this?" And he said, "Sure." So Mike wanted to do it according to the pastor in the church and not do anything that the pastor wouldn't agree with. And so the pastor said, yeah, he told her and husband to come to the Thursday night small group meeting. It's like a prayer meeting at the church, and Mike would be there. And so we would come, and the purpose of that meeting, the main thing that they would do at the meeting, is deliver her from her rebellion, her Jezebel spirit. So that day we're in the meeting. It's a little meeting. There's only about 10, 11 people there. She's sitting in the middle. She's really anxious. It's a small room. It's a room about the quarter of the size of this room, maybe even smaller than that. So everybody's sitting around, and we'll pretend she's sitting like in a chair right there, and Mike is sitting right here, and I'm sitting right there, and her husband's right there. The pastor's right here. Our friend. Story's about our friend. Our friend is sitting right there. Pastor's wife is over there. Another two ladies right there. That's about all that was there. So she's talking to Mike about this problem, And he's asking just a few questions because he's trying to figure out what demons we're going to cast out and everything, and starting to make progress. And you're going to be the woman with false compassion. You're sitting right there. And she starts patting her on the back, saying, my daughter hurt her feelings like this. Don't be so hard on her. She's been through a lot. And the girl who's wanting deliverance is like, don't get away from me, lady, you know, because she's really very hopeful that she's going to get results. But anyway, to make a long story short, it looked as though, because the pastor was starting to backpedal, because he was upset, because the lady was upset, and this woman's afraid she's not going to get delivered, and the husband is thinking, oh my gosh, we came here, we're about to get delivered, and this woman's going to stop it, and the pastor's backing up, and this guy over here just stands up and he says, false spirit of rebellion, come out! And he's not said a word up to this point. He hasn't said anything. And she got gloriously free. Just like that. Now, what is it that supposed that you got him off his feet like that? Compassion got him off his feet. He was afraid she was not going to get delivered. And so he just did it. Before the whole thing fell apart. First time he ever cast a demon out was that, was then. And there's other times when a friend of Mike's would drag him to get people healed. One time he took him to two different boys that had leukemia. And another time a guy with a brain tumor. And now what is it that just made Mike, his name is Ken Moore, he lives in Idaho now, but we all lived in Southern California at the time, and he would call Mike and he'd say, Mike, there's so-and-so with such-and-such a problem, what are we going to do about it? And so he would plan it, and he went, well, what is it that would make Mike, he would drag Mike out to these friends of his? It was compassion. He felt compassion. He was not going to quit until these people got healed. He was not going to quit until he got Mike. He hadn't actually started in his own deliverance ministry yet, but he drug Mike, and he got the job done, and it was his compassion for those people that got the job done. I'm not going to go into any more detail about that because for lack of time, but, you know, God was full of compassion. Psalm 78:38, Psalm 111:4, Psalm 145:8. He's full of compassion. 2 Chronicles 39, I'm sorry. For if you turn again unto the Lord, your brethren, your children shall find compassion before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again into this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful and will not turn away his face from you if you return unto him. Now the meaning of this Hebrew word compassion is by extension the womb as cherishing the fetus. By implication a maiden, bowels, compassion, tender love, great and tender love, mercy, pity. When you feel these things for people, it's the Holy Spirit trying to move you to obedience. Move you to get them what they need. You've got what they need. You've got power in the name of Jesus. Now, in some of the cases, people will keep their deliverance, and sometimes they won't. One guy was a brain tumor, and Mike, guy wasn't even saved. And Mike didn't decide, let's see, I'm not going to get him healed because he's not saved. He'll lose it. The demon will come back. No, he responded to the compassion for this man that was going to be dead in 2 weeks. His doctor said, get your affairs in order quick. And he's alive today and he got saved. Sometimes you need to have a person have some teaching so that they'll keep their deliverance, and other times you need to keep them alive until they get saved. You know, anyway, God knows. The Holy Spirit knows. You just respond. You just be obedient to your compassion. Micah 7:19. He will turn again. He will have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou wilt cast out their sins unto the depths of the sea. That Hebrew word there, the definition is to fondle, by implication to love. Especially to have compassion on or upon, to love, find, have obtained, show mercy, pity. Okay. If you try to think of compassion this way, if you respond to your compassion, you will you'll hit the mark. And what is the mark? The mark is destroying the works of the devil. That's what we want to do. We want to destroy the works of the devil, whether it's sickness or problems with demons or whatever. Okay. Compassion is the ball, the weapon. We have a ball here. The goal is over there. Freedom. Set the captives free. Deliverance, healing. The ball is right here. The bat is right here. Bat is the catalyst for obedience. You smack compassion with obedience and it will get to the goal. Just think of that sometimes. If you're trying to think, what did Gail say? What the heck did she say? Maybe you can think of that. The ball and the bat. You know, the weapon of compassion really does make healing a whole lot easier. It is a wonderful weapon. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And compassion is a catalyst that will make it easier for you to move, easier to get up and do what you think you should. Easier for you to move in the gifts of the Spirit. Easier to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Remember, compassion is not coming from Satan. The enemy is not going to give you compassion for anything or anybody. And a lot of times we try to differentiate. Let's see, I said, is this the Lord telling me something? Is this God? You know, is this, am I going to walk into a trap? Is this Satan? Well, Satan's not going to trap you with compassion. One time, I'll never forget one time, compassion, one of the neatest times that compassion has hit Mike. We were at the Anaheim Convention Center, and it was a Christian meeting, and there was a woman in a wheelchair, and her nurse, and she was unable to walk because she was bent over to the point where she just couldn't walk. She was over quite a long ways. It was amazing she was even, right. Well, the wheelchair, if I remember, I'm trying to remember, Mike described it to me, I saw her after she was healed. And because he just disappeared and he went over to this lady and he asked her, he said, do you mind if I pray for you? And she said, no. I mean, she came to this meeting because she wanted, mainly because it was, she wanted to be healed. The speaker was talking a lot about healing. And it's so great. So he responded to his compassion and he just picked her up and hugged her. And it didn't even hurt her. She straightened up and she started walking and her nurse was dancing better than she was. And she got healed on the street. She came to get healed in the meetings, but she didn't care if she got healed on the street. It was really exciting, but it was just a matter of Mike looked at her and compassion arose. And obedience to the Holy Spirit. When you see tears well up in Mike's eyes, somebody's fixing to get healed or delivered. Because that compassion is arising. I remember another neat time that compassion, like, was responding to compassion. In Switzerland, we were doing some deliverance meetings with some friends, and it was their meetings. We were just there kind of helping. And the night before the meeting, Mike had a dream. And it was kind of an unusual dream, one that he'd never had one quite like that. And he forgot about it almost immediately. He didn't even remember it long enough to say, hey, I had a weird dream. You know, he didn't even tell me he had a weird dream. And we were at the meeting the next day, and it was that night. It had been a long meeting. The speaker had talked a long time, and then we'd done some mass deliverance. And then it was time for some individual prayer and healing. And Mike was standing there, and a woman came up to him that he kind of knew her, Beate, because she had come to lots of the meetings. Prior to this, an unusual thing happened. About 10 minutes, 20 minutes before this, an unusual thing happened. Somebody offered Mike a piece of chewing gum, and he took it. The reason it's unusual is Mike doesn't chew gum very often. And I even remember noticing, it's unusual. And I'm likely to take a piece of gum if somebody offers it, but not Mike. He'll turn it down most of the time, but this time he took a piece of gum. And I remember thinking, oh, that's unusual. But anyway, he's back here praying for Beate, and Beate comes up and says, oh, Mike, please help me with this. There's another minister that says I have a terrible problem with pride. And she was just in such anguish and tears in her eyes, and she was really upset about this horrible problem that she had. And Mike was like feeling so bad, knew her, feeling so bad for her because she was in such distress. And he remembered the dream. So he said to her, sure, I'll pray for you. Would you mind holding my gun? And she says, oh, sure. So he puts this gun in her hand, and she's standing there like this, waiting for him to pray. She's wanting him to do something. And he said, Beate, you don't have a problem with pride. Because if you had a problem with pride, you wouldn't be holding my gum. And he took the gum and put it back in his mouth. That was out of character, too. But then the interesting thing is the dream was he dreamed that he was standing praying for somebody and she was holding his gum. And an unusual dream because he doesn't chew gum very often. So he's standing there and listening to him saying, oops, this is the Holy Spirit. Let's respond. You know, he was feeling this compassion for her, and the Holy Spirit gave him the dream back. Clear as a bell. Now, what makes a person be obedient? Compassion. See, I keep saying that over and over again because I'm hoping that it'll catch. You know, if you don't remember anything else, you remember that one sentence. I wanted to tell you some about, I think this is what I want to... Oh, I know. I've been watching this compassion for years and years. I've been watching it for about 15 years before I really got serious about thinking, and Mike lives in this compassion all the time, Gail, but you're not very compassionate. You don't seem to do that. You just sort of hit and miss and pray for this and pray for that. I'm much more timid, much more less likely to just jump right out there and move on my compassion. This is something I'm getting deliverance for. I started seriously seeking this and getting more victory over it when in a church service we were there and the Lord, it was a church we were going to in California, and the Lord had a word for the people, this church was this was a good church, very good church, one of the better churches that we've been to, great preacher, great gifts of the Holy Spirit moving. And here's what the Lord said. You people seek signs and wonders and healing and miracles. But I want you to seek love, because without it, you are nothing. You are nothing. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 13. Everybody knows 1 Corinthians 13. I had this book memorized, this chapter memorized once. I don't now. 1 Corinthians 2 and 3. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, though I'm a martyr. You'd think a martyr would have a lot of love, wouldn't you? Apparently not. And though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Now let's look up Matthew 7:22 and 23. Matthew 7:22 and 23. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What seems to be the missing ingredient here? Let's read verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. You know, the will of the Father is the ultimate goal. Take my pen. Did you take it or did you try?
I take it.
Those? Verse 21. He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Dr. Ecker said to Mike, are you doing God's will? And Mike said, well, I'm trying. We learned this Bible and we know what God's will is, and we know if we're doing it. Mm-hmm. I want to tell one more story. It's kind of a long story, and then we're going to do some deliverance. It's a several stories, actually, but it's a long story about Joe. I got my pages out of order. What is it that compels a person to put mud in their hand and then spit on it and then slap it on somebody's eyes? Why do you think Jesus did that? He heard the Holy Spirit. And it was the compassion in him that made him actually do it. You may think to yourself, well, I could never put mud in somebody's eyes. If I heard the Holy Spirit tell me to put mud in somebody's eyes. Well, I could never do that. If you knew you heard the Holy Spirit say it, you probably would, wouldn't you? You say now that you would. That's the question. Let me tell you a story about Joe. It's a story about, are you willing to obey the Lord? I'm not personally very able yet. You know, I should be. Like I said, I've been watching this obedience up close and personal for a long time, and I should be really good at it by now, but I'm just working on it. And I'm praying and fasting to ask the Lord to help me with it, to help my selfishness. And remember, I want you to write down words that keep us from compassion. And here's another sentence if you don't remember anything else. Love and compassion is nothing more than a decision to obey God. That's all it is. Love and compassion is a decision to obey God. You either do or you don't. You take the pen or you don't. I got to tell one story, one plan to tell. I got to tell it really quick because it really is important on this. I told it before, and so I'm going to tell it quick. Some of you won't be bored because some of you have heard it. One time when Mike was, when we were first married, this was one of the first times one of the beginning times that I saw Mike's compassion in moving. We went into he had had a discussion with his father about healing and deliverance, and his father was very negative. Her father was the doctor in charge of this hospital. And so Mike said to his dad, he said, I want you to find the... He would never do it. I don't think he would do this now, but you never know. He said, Dad, I want you to find the sickest person you can find. And I'll show you about healing and deliverance. Find the sickest person you can find. So Dr. Patton, being very demure, and okay. And he wrote down a room number at the hospital. So Mike and I went over there, and there was this guy laying in a coma. And he had a tube. He had a tube in every orifice, he really. I'm a nurse. I know what I'm looking at. He looked pretty bad. He looked like he was going to be dead in a couple hours. And so Mike's thinking, "Oh, brother." If this will happen to you, you'll think, doubt, unbelief. And he's looking at this person laying there, and he says, thinks the Holy Spirit tells him to tell him to wake up. So he says, wake up. And then he heard the Holy Spirit say, I can't hear you. Now this is where obedience comes in.
Okay.
He felt like he heard the Holy Spirit. So he yelled, wake up. So how was he good? About that time, two or three nurses stick their heads in the door. I'm the director of nursing. His father's the boss. So they looked at us and they turned around. They kind of backed off a little. Mike's still yelling at this guy, wake up, wake up. Anyway, he didn't wake up. So we left. And the next day, Mike's dad, with tears in his eyes, he said, you know that guy you went to pray for? He's sitting up in his room eating breakfast. I'm going to go home. You know, Mike could have ignored the Holy Spirit. Okay, compassion stops the fear of man. Stops the fear of man. Fear of man is a biggie. It's a big thing that will stop you from acting on your compassion. And compassion stops them dead in the tracks, and when you stop that fear of man, and you will destroy the works of the devil. Now I'm back to Joe. I said I had to interject a little story about that. The story is about Joe. We were at Joe's house, and we were at a Bible study we'd been going to with Joe for many years at his house. And during the Bible study, there was a woman who was ill, and she was a... There were a lot of people there. There were a lot of people there, about 20, 25 people sitting around in this beautiful house, and there's this lovely lady who's dressed to the nines, and fortunately she had pants on, because when she asked Mike to pray for her, he said, now this is like mud in your eye. believe me, Mike would probably have rather gone out and got mud and put it in her eye. I don't remember what was wrong with her. This is a long time ago. But he said, the Lord says that if you go over there and crawl on your all fours and touch the nose and then crawl back, you'll be healed. She did it immediately. She didn't care that all these upper crust people were sitting around dressed to the nines. She did it immediately. Mike was obedient. She was obedient. She got healed. Now, what is it will cause you that? Cause you to do that? Was it because Mike thought it would be fun to watch her crawl or because he thought he'd want to be embarrassed or all these? No. that's right. Foolish things. And the Holy Spirit sometimes will do that. That's probably the two things that happened this night. The things that hard do happen occasionally, but not very often compared to two things in one night. We're talking about Joe's story. This is Joe's story. Okay. Now, because of that, this lady got healed. A girl who had had problems with prostitution for many years before she married her husband came up to Mike and asked her if she could have some deliverance for that because she was really tormented. Her husband was fine. He didn't have a problem with this prostitution that she... But she did. She was the one suffering from the results of the prostitution. She needed Jerry real bad. She really did. She needed to hear what you were doing. But didn't have that much time. We just had a few minutes. And so Mike's praying for us. And Big Joe, the one the story is about, who is 6'4", about 260 pounds on one side of her. Her husband, who was not a big man, not husky, but tall and a rather large man. And she was real short and petite, about 110 pounds. She had two or three kids. She was so cute. Just about the size of... not your size. She was just really cute. And she had braces. And she's in her 20s, about 26 or 7. She had braces. And the Holy Spirit tells Mike to hit her. Now, the Holy Spirit has not told Mike to hit... I'm trying to think if there's ever been another time. It's not like the Holy Spirit goes around telling Mike to hit people. Trust me on this. This is another time that he would have rather the Holy Spirit said, go out and get some mud, put it in your hand, spit on it, slap him not. That would have been easier. So anyway, he sort of pats her on the... And the Holy Spirit said, I meant hit her as hard as you can. So he hauled back and he hit her across the face as hard as he could. It knocked her to the floor, knocked her braces loose. Her lip was bleeding. And her husband was about to smack Mike. Joe, who was Mike's very dear friend, was like, well, Mike. You know, going across the room and touching the nose is one thing. She gets up off the ground and she says, I'm free, I'm free, hallelujah, I am finally free, praise the Lord, I'm free. Her husband is ecstatic. Joe's ecstatic. Oh, hallelujah, she's happy. Her waist is hanging down, she's sleeping, and she's happy. Okay, this is a story about Joe. Okay, about 3 weeks later, another couple, friends of ours, the six of us were riding across the town from Irvine to Palos Verdes to have a meeting with some people who had called and asked for some teaching because they were getting out of a movement that had caused them some problems. It was a shepherdship movement. There's another name for that too. I can't remember the name of it right now. And they knew there was something wrong with it, and they were getting out of it, and they wanted some help getting straightened out from having been in an erroneous Christian movement for about 10 years. And so we went to their beautiful home. He was a landscape architect and had a wonderful day, beautiful pool, the most beautiful swimming pool you can imagine, the most beautiful yard you can imagine, the most beautiful house you can imagine. And we were having a great time. There were about 20 of them and 6 of us, and we were just having the most lovely day. And on the way over there, though, Joe said, we were talking about the meeting where Mike hit the woman and told the woman to... But the main thing, Joe was really... said, Mike, I could never hit anybody. I don't care if the Holy Spirit tells me to hit somebody. I'm just not... I couldn't do that. I'm not going to hit somebody. I just can't do that. And so Mike said, okay. But anyway, we're sitting around at the end of this meeting, and we had a lovely day, and the Lord told Mike, he said, you know, tell these people that I'd like for them to just ask for whatever the desire of their heart is. I'd like for everybody to pray about the desire of their heart. So we're standing around, and we've done that for a while, and then everybody's standing around, milling around, and there's still prayer going on. And Mike goes over to Joe and whispers in his ear where no one else can hear. He says, "Joe, are you just going to pat that little thing on his head?" And Joe went over to this. Now, we're talking 6'4" Joe, 260 pounds, goes over to 110-pound Japanese 5'2" fella. Wears back and hits him in the stomach just as hard as he can. The fella comes off the ground, hits the floor. I'm looking at the host. Host is over there. The host is about to get upset. And this little Japanese guy gets off the floor and says, "I'm free, I'm free, I'm finally free. Praise the Lord, I'm free." And it turns out that he had never been able to forgive his brother for hitting him in the stomach when he was a kid.
Wow.
And he got free from that day.
Wow.
Now, what is it that made Joe hit that guy in the stomach? Was it compassion and obedience? That's right. It's not because he wanted to be embarrassed. It's not because he was thinking, "Oh my gosh, what if it doesn't work?" You know, he had a lot of fear of man going on. He had just said hours before, "I'll never do that. I'll never hit anybody." He heard the Holy Spirit, I think, and then he knew Mike. The Holy Spirit had told Mike, and that whole episode was for Joe to begin responding to his compassion and being obedient to the Holy Spirit. So, you know, it's funny how the Lord works. The Lord wanted all those things to happen, but he just happened to use the whole scenario so that Joe would never say never again. Let's see, I think I'm about done, and I want you to write things on your cards. You know, I want to read a couple of verses that have to do with Joe and obedience. Think of Joe when you think of these verses. I'm going to give you the meaning. Romans 1:5. "By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name." Romans 6:16. "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." Now, the meaning of this word here, obedience here, those two verses are talking about. Think of Joe when you listen to the meaning of this. To hear under as a subordinate, that is to listen attentively, by implication to heed or conform to a command or authority. Hearken, to be obedient, to obey. That's what Joe was doing. Mike came over and said, "You going to pat that little thing on his head?" And then he heard the Holy Spirit to he had already heard the Holy Spirit. It was when Mike said that he thought, "Oh my gosh, that was the Holy Spirit." And he went over and hit him. The Holy Spirit had already told him to hit him in the stomach. Now, those are the only experiences I remember ever seeing of anybody hitting anybody. I don't want you to go away thinking, "Oh boy, this deliverance ministry is hitting people." It's not. This is this episode that Joe had to learn. Do you think you can be obedient to the information the Holy Spirit gives you? Acts 5:29. "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men.'"
Yeah.
Acts 5:32. "And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to them that obey him." Mm-hmm. You know, the more you obey, the more the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you. Now, that's another subject altogether.
Yeah.
I'll get to that someday.
If someone asked Joe was here.
No, Joe's not here. Someday maybe we'll get to meet Joe. But that the meaning of that particular word, the verse I just read, Acts 5:32, to be persuaded by a ruler, that is, to submit to authority, by analogy, to conform to advice, hearken, obey, the Holy Spirit. Okay, God will meet you this is when the rubber meets the road, folks, and God will meet you there. Okay, let's just make a quick list, and then we're going to have some deliverance over these things. What are some of the things that we need to put on the list that are hindrance to compassion?
Unbelief.
Right.
Unforgiveness.
Indifference,
yes. What?
Revenge.
Revenge, yes.
Anger.
Anger, that's good.
Frustration.
Self-absorption. Yeah. That's good, because I had self-absorption and busyness. Let me write that down before I forget. Because a lot of times busyness is exactly the thing that will stop you from obeying the Holy Spirit. And what you need to do is think, that must have been the Holy Spirit. What's more important, this thing I'm doing?
Or
insecurity, okay? I think I've got that down. There we go, false compassion, exactly.
Fear.
And fear.
Fear of failure.
Fear of man. Fear of failure.
Hatred.
Versus love. Uh-huh. What?
Confusion.
Confusion. That's good.
Mind analyzation.
Yeah.
Judging.
Intimidation.
Wait just a second. You said judgment. What'd you say?
Intimidation.
I wrote down some things. I think I wrote down intimidation.
Mm-hmm.
It moves you. Yeah, that's right. That's true. That's true, because that's the opposite. You know, false compassion. Somebody asked one time, they said, can you have too much compassion? You can't have too much compassion. You can have way too much false compassion. But usually when you stop and think about it, and that's what we do. We evaluate the spirit. We want to discern spirits. When you stop and think about it, you can tell the difference between false compassion and real compassion. That's right. False compassion gets in God's business. He'll try to interrupt the Holy Spirit. He is one of the weapons that Satan wields.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Rebellion.
That's a good one. What?
Pride.
Pride, rebellion.
Stubbornness.
Yeah, that's a good one. It goes along with rebellion and stubbornness. Okay.
Exhaustion.
Yeah. That's a good one, yeah. Yeah, it does. It really does. And if the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, He's going to give you the strength. So when you stop and you're pooped and you say, oh, that was the Holy Spirit. You can. What?
No grace.
No grace, that's right.
Doing this rejection?
No, I don't think so, but I do think I wrote it down. Rejection.
Fear
of rejection. Man, I gotta write that down. I don't think I did.
What is that spirit that causes you sometimes you hear God and then another spirit or something else comes in your mind that makes you think, was that God or not? And then doubt.
Sometimes it's doubt because you're.
Yes,
a lot of times you're thinking, oh, that was the Holy Spirit, and then you start to doubt. And sometimes that's what it is. Doubt. Fear. Fear of man. Confusion. Unbelief. Let's see, confusion. Did we write down? Yeah, we did.
Selfishness.
That's a biggie. What? What?
Indifference.
Right. Indifference. Selfishness. Self-centeredness. I'm gonna name some of these that I wrote so that you can think about it before we actually do the deliverance. Coldness, aloofness, distrust, the lack of gratitude toward God. Sometimes we even get bitter toward God. Fear of reprisal, timidity, inadequacy, indecision. Indecision's a biggie. Sometimes we're plagued with indecision, and it'll stop us from. No, destroying the works of the devil. Anti-submissiveness. Embarrassment. Joe was not worried about being embarrassed. He could have been. He thought when he was driving in the car that he was going to be worried about bitterness. When it came right down to it, he knew that the Holy Spirit had told him to hit the guy in the stomach because Mike came over and said what he said. So, did he worry about the embarrassment that he thought that he was going to worry about when he said, no, I'll never do that? No, he didn't. He let compassion take over, and he didn't worry about the embarrassment. He wanted to be obedient to the Holy Spirit.
Fear of hurting somebody.
Fear of hurting somebody,
yeah. What about social acceptance?
Yep, social acceptance goes a lot along with embarrassment, fear of man, Okay, let's go ahead and start. Let's do some deliverance. Now, I'm going to ask some people. When I ask some people to help with deliverance, don't feel bad if I don't ask you. The reason I'm asking these particular people is because they come here all the time and get deliverance. And they believe that deliverance is a lifestyle, and it's something that we just do, and we're never going to quit because we're never going to arrive until Jesus comes, and then we go to heaven to be with Him. I'll ask Jerry and Patty and Debbie and Jane and Linda and the rest of you, I tend to your own knitting. Unless you are a mother. Now, if you think that sometimes your daughter's trying to get deliverance and having a little difficulty, you can help, because mothers have great authority for their children. But if you're not a mother, then, and if you're not Cheryl or the others that can help, then tend to your own knitting, because this is the place for you to get your deliverance. Now, whether you think you need deliverance from anything that holds back compassion, that's beside the point, because if you start trying to help somebody else and pat them on the back, and then you're just, sometimes you can distract them. They're concentrating. They're trying to get delivered. They're trying to get rid of these things that keep them from doing what they know they need to do. They're trying to get rid of the things that cause them to be obedient and move out in the when they hear the Holy Spirit. And so, the best way to do it is when I say take a deep breath, take a deep breath. If I say something like cough, then cough. Another thing to do is it's a good idea, if you can, to keep your eyes open and try to look at me, because you don't have to. If someone comes around to help you, you can look at them. If somebody's thinking that, well, they're going to give you a little help, these people that come around that I've said, they know what they're doing. And if they need any help, Carl will help them. But most of the time, we won't need that many people. And if they hand you a paper towel, take it. Have we got enough paper towels? I don't know. Here we go. You want to pass some paper towels out to people, to the Patty and the girls? I don't know if we have enough paper towels or not. But
When he went to the hospital, he had authority of the administrator of the hospital. He also had the authority of the director of nurses, so he
was
under authority.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that is true. He wouldn't have done it without that. Very unlikely. Unless it had been a family member that had said the same thing, and if he felt the Holy Spirit moving him to do that. Very frequently he goes in under the authority of family members. Very frequently. Now, what happens all the time? Over the phone. Then another thing that hinders deliverance sometimes is if you pray. Don't pray. I know that sounds silly, but praying sometimes can make the demons back down when they're about to come out. So you're trying to breathe out. Pneumo, demon means, that's one of the definitions in it. It's through the air. So if you hiccup or sneeze or cough or yawn or throw up or whatever, that's the way demons come out. And so you don't want to pray. You just want to concentrate. You want to think on what I'm saying, and you want to think, these are not my friends. Because if you have a problem with self-centeredness, if you don't have a problem with self-centeredness, when I call out self-centeredness, it's not going to come out.
Yeah.
But if you do have a problem with self-centeredness, you're going to take a shot at getting rid of it. Okay? Those are just the main rules to go by. And if you're doing something that is kind of detrimental to your deliverance, Jerry or Patty or somebody will come around and tell you softly, quietly. Okay, so we want to right now stand up for just a second, then you're going to sit back down. Jerry, would you just lead a prayer in breaking the generational curses and the things that are passed down from their generations?
Lord, in the name of Jesus,
I come before your throne.
Forgive me, Lord.
For my lack of compassion.
Shutting up my balance of mercy.
And I forgive my forefathers.
For shutting up their bowels of mercy. Lord, in the name of Jesus.
I take accountability.
The fear of embarrassment.
Fear of intimidation.
Fear of humiliation.
False compassion.
Spirit of hate.
Business.
No time.
Selfishness.
Putting myself first.
Lord, forgive me for doing all those things.
And I take accountability.
And ask you to forgive me.
For everything that's been mentioned today.
That would hinder my compassion.
Lord, would you start with Adam and Eve?
And let your cleansing blood go down through my bloodline.
Washing away any ground.
That you've had in my life.
The lack of compassion.
In the name of Jesus,
I forgive those people
who had no compassion toward me
and no compassion toward my forefathers.
I break generational curses,
all my curses,
of all these things, of unbelief and doubt.
And unwillingness
to move out on what you say.
In Jesus' name. That's right.
Every demon has to go in the name of Jesus.
That's right.
You can sit if you'd like.
Break your power. We break your power in the name of Jesus.
Every one of those, in the name of Jesus.
We break your power.
You can get comfortable now. I just wanted you to move around a little.
Okay, and I think that was great. You covered the subject. I was going to do some of that. That's great. Thank you. You saved us time.
Okay, I'm going to call out these things, and if a coldness is the first one, and if you don't think that you have coldness, it won't hurt if you try to get rid of it.
There are times when you're cold and you shouldn't be.
There are times when you're every one of these things and you shouldn't be. So let's get rid of it.
Coldness in the name of Jesus. I bind you and I command you to come out. Out. I command the spirit of coldness, the demon of coldness to come out. Come out of these people. Spirit of aloofness. You're aloofness and you're indifference. You spirit of indifference. I bind indifference. I bind indifference. I bind coldness. I bind aloofness. I bind you in Jesus' name. I command you to come out. You let loose. Take a deep breath. Cough a little bit. Just take some deep breath. Don't pray. Take a deep breath. Just think these are not my friends. Indifference
in the name of Jesus. You spirit of indifference, you come out. You leave these people
that you can't stay.
Spirit of indifference, insensitivity in Jesus' name. Insensitivity, you let loose. Insensitivity, you come out in Jesus' name. Take a deep breath.
Cough, insensitivity, distrust in the name of Jesus. Loose. I bind distrust all across the room in the name of Jesus. The spirit of distrust, you come out.
Spirit of unbelief, come out.
Unbelief, spirit of doubt and unbelief, come out.
Cough, spirit of doubt, spirit of unbelief, spirit of embarrassment in Jesus' name, come out.
Out.
I bind the spirit of unbelief. I bind the spirit of doubt. I bind the spirit of embarrassment. Come out. Out in Jesus' name. Out.
I bind you. I break you. I break it. I break it. In Jesus' name, the spirit of lack of gratitude toward God, bitterness toward God, ingratitude toward God, lack of praise and thankfulness to God, in Jesus' name.
The times that I'm unthankful to God, that could be a spirit in Jesus' name. You foul demon of ingratitude, foul spirit of ingratitude, I bind you and you come out now in Jesus' name. Come out, unbelief, spirit of doubt, spirit of bitterness toward anyone, spirit of bitterness toward God, bitterness in Jesus' name, I bind you, I command you to come out, loose these people, bitterness, come out,
bitterness, selfishness, self-centeredness,
in Jesus' name, self-centeredness, coldness, self-centeredness, aloofness, fear of man, in Jesus' name, I bind the spirit of fear of man, I bind you in Jesus' name, come out in Jesus' name, fear of man, fear of failure, fear of reprisal, fear in general, strong man of fear, I bind you, and come out, all fear, fear of man, fear of disobedience, fear of God,
Fear of reprisal, fear of disobedience. Disobedience, disobedience, come out. Out in Jesus' name. Disobey, disobedience, come out. Out, out in Jesus' name, come out. I bind you in Jesus' name, come out. Out. Timidity, come out. Inadequacy, come out. Inadequacy in Jesus' name, come out. You spirit that says, I can't hear the Holy Spirit, you come out. You come out. I can't obey the Holy Spirit. You foul spirit that tries to make them believe that, spirit of disbelief, spirit of unbelief, come out, out, out in Jesus' name. Spirit of inadequacy, spirit of indecision, you come out. Indecision, come out. I bind the spirit, you foul spirit, you demon of indecision, you come out. Come out, out right now. Deep breath, cough, anti-submissiveness, you spirit of anti-submissiveness, come out. Spirit of stubbornness, come out. Spirit of rebellion, come out. Out. I bind the spirit of rebellion. Spirit of anti-submissiveness, come out. Out. Out in Jesus' name. By the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, you can't stay. You have to come out. You come out in Jesus' name. Spirit of anti-submissiveness. Fear of rejection. Fear, come out. Fear of rejection. Fear of rejection. Fear of embarrassment. Fear of embarrassment. I bind the spirit of embarrassment. Fear of man. Come out. I bind you in Jesus' name. Come out. 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 Lethargy. Come out. Compromise. Come out. Spirit of compromise. I bind the spirit of lethargy and compromise. You come out. Out in Jesus' name. Spirit of rationalization. Rationalizing. I can't do what the Holy Spirit says. I don't have time. I'm too busy. I have to do this. I have to do that. You don't have to do anything but obey the Holy Spirit. And those foul spirits that are stopping you, those spirits of rationalization, I bind you and I command you to come out. All rationalizing demons, come out. Out in Jesus' name. You come out. You can't stay. They don't want you. She doesn't want you. You're not her friend. She's not going to rationalize. She's going to obey. She doesn't want you rationalization. She doesn't want you busyness. Busyness, you come out. Have too much to do, come out. Stress, come out. I've got too much to do, come out in the name of Jesus. You foul spirit of busyness, I bind you. I bind you, busyness, false busyness in Jesus' name, lack of priority, inability to set priorities properly in Jesus' name, you spirit of lack of priority, spirit of lack of discipline, spirit of rationalization, you come out, out, out in Jesus' name. Some deep breaths, cough, pride in Jesus' name. Pride in Jesus' name. Let her go, let her go, let them go in Jesus' name. I bind you, I bind you, I bind you. I break it, I break it, I break it. Come out, out in Jesus' name. Pride. Smug complacency. Smug complacency, come out, out in Jesus' name. Out, out, out. Apathy, apathy. You foul spirit of apathy, smug complacement, I bind you, and I command you to come out, out, out in Jesus' name. You're not her friend. She doesn't want you apathy. She's not apathetic. She doesn't want you. You spirit of apathy. Let her loose. Go, go. Unforgiveness. Spirit of unforgiveness. I bind you. I bind you. Come out. Demon of unforgiveness. Demon of unforgiveness. Let her go. Let her go. Come out. Revenge. Demon of revenge. Anger. Anger and frustration. Come out. Anger, bitterness, rebellion, frustration. In Jesus' name, I bind you. You come out. Let her go. Let her go. All spirits of frustration, bitterness, anger. What? Talk yourself out of it, spirit. In the name of Jesus, you foul demon that talks yourself out of it. She's not going to have you anymore. She's not going to listen to you, so you come out. Talk yourself out of it, demon. You come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Busyness, false compassion. False compassion, you come out. She's not going to listen to you either. No more false compassion. No more spirit of religion. No more religiosity. You foul spirit of religiosity, I bind you. I bind you and you bind you to come out. False compassion, you come out. I bind you. You come out, false compassion. Hatred versus love, come out. Hatred, fear. Fear and hatred, come out. Out. Confusion. I bind confusion. I bind all confusion in Jesus' name. You come out. Let her go. Let her go. I bind the demon of confusion. Judgment, mind analysis. I bind any spirits of judgment, mind analysis. Trying to analyze, spirit of analyzation. Spirit of analyzing this, analyzing that. We're going to jump to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Anything that stops us jumping to the voice of the Holy Spirit, anything that blocks the Holy Spirit, you demons that block the Holy Spirit, you Holy Spirit blocking demons, obedience blocking demons, you come out. I bind you in Jesus' name and you come out. Out in Jesus' name. Out, out, come out. Stubbornness, come out, out. Rebellion, out. Spirit of rebellion, come out. Come out. No grace, lack of grace. I bind any lack of grace in Jesus' name. Come out. Lack of graciousness, lack of pity, pitilessness. You spirit of pitiless, you pitiless spirit in Jesus' name, you demon of pitiless demon, you come out. Out in Jesus' name. Out. Fear of hurting someone. Come out. Out. Any fear of hurting. Any fear of hurting someone. You're not her friend. You let her go. You're not her friend. You're her enemy. You're not her friend. You come out. Out in Jesus' name. Out, out, out in the name of Jesus. I bind you in Jesus' name. I bind you. Fear of rejection. Fear of rejection. Spirit of fear of rejection. Spirit of fear of man. Spirit of any kind of fear in the name of Jesus. Come out. Out in Jesus' name. Social acceptance. You spirit of social acceptance. We don't care about you. You're our enemy. You demon of social acceptance. I bind you. I bind all the social acceptance demons. You come out. Out in Jesus' name. We don't want you. We don't want you. We don't need social acceptance. We only need the acceptance of the Holy Spirit. Social acceptance demons. You let them go. You let them go. You come out. Out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Think of any more? Just... What? Hard-heartedness. Coldness. Hard-heartedness. That's a good one. Hard-heartedness. Sometimes you demon of hard-heartedness, you'll just take over. We don't know where you came from. Lying spirits. Lying spirits that will tell us we can't follow the Holy Spirit. You're just a lying spirit. You lying spirit, come right out. You come out, I bind you. Spirit of hard-heartedness, lack of love, unloving. Demon of unloving, you come out. Demon of unloving, you come out. Cold demon, you demon called cold, come out. Cold in the name of Jesus, out, out, out. Cold-hearted, hard-hearted. Lack of compassion demon, any demon that's lack of compassion, any uncompassionate demon. Demon of uncompassion, you come out. Discompassionate. Religious spirit, you're not staying. All spirits of religious spirit, all false compassion, all spirit, religious spirits in the name of Jesus, I bind you. I bind the spirit of religion. Spirit of error that will lead you in the wrong direction. Demon of error in Jesus' name. Foul spirit, fear of error in Jesus' name. Fear of intimidation in Jesus' name. Intimidation in Jesus' name. I command you to come out. Come out. I bind you and I command you to come out. Intimidating spirit, come out.
Oh, that's not God,
you foul spirit. Oh, that's not God. Spirit, oh, that's not God. I'm calling you out. I'm calling your name. You come out. I bind you. You come out. Out, out in Jesus' name. I break it. You can't have them. You can't bind them anymore. Oh, come out. Oh, spirit of that's not God. I'm not going to listen to you. You're a liar. You lying spirit. You lying spirit of, oh, that's not God. You lying spirit. Come out. Out. You can't say. You're not her friend. You're not her friend. She's following love and compassion. And you're following the Holy Spirit. Truth is lie and lie is truth. Evil is good and good is evil. Truth is lie and lie is truth. You spirit of lie is truth. Come out. Come out. Out. I bind you. I bind you. Lying spirit, come out. Out. No more lies. Lying spirit, come out. You can't lie to me about my love and compassion. You can't lie to me. It's clear to me, and you can't lie to me anymore. You lying spirit, come out. Let her go. Let her go. In Jesus' name, let her go. Let her go. Let her go. Let her go. In Jesus' name. All spirits of unforgiveness. All spirits of unforgiveness. All aloofness. Indifference in the name of Jesus. I command you to let her go. Let her go. Spirit of indifference. Can't have her. Indifference, you come out. You come out, indifference. No more indifference. No more indifference. I have the love of Christ. I have the love of Christ. I do not have the spirit of indifference. I'm commanding you to go out. You spirit of indifference. You're my enemy. You're coming out. Out, out. I bind the spirit of indifference. I bind the spirit of aloofness. Let the spirit of aloofness go. The demon of aloofness, come out. I bind you. I break your power. I break it. I break it. I break it. I break your power. Coldness, aloofness, indifference, insensitivity, distrust. Spirit of distrust, you come out. Okay, if you want to stay and get more deliverance, fine. We've got a...
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.